Driving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. We're scrubbing in.
Hello. Happy Monday. I actually have some exciting news for you.
Oh, what?
First of all, I'll tell you in a second, but I want to hear about your week.
What in the heck? You're going to give it tease like that?
I mean, it's nothing like groundbreaking, earth shattering, but I think it's just something you're going to be very excited about.
No. Okay. Well, I just can't believe it's only been a week since I last saw you. Because
Why?
The day after I saw you, I left for Hawaii.
I know, and you've been gone.
I know, but it's been a week, like we always have. But we also didn't talk.
We didn't talk.
which we never do. Like, I looked at our last text message, and it was from Monday, I think.
Or I think that Tuesday. I think it was like the day after. But you know what's interesting is I felt like I've been talking about you a lot. And so I feel like I've been talking to you.
Oh, yeah? Who have you been talking to me about? Who have you been talking to about me?
Well, because your birthday's coming up.
Oh.
So we've been planning some things.
It's weird. I noticed I didn't hear from any of my friends really this week. So y'all are all doing some sneaky sneakers and things.
No, not sneaky sneakers. I'm going to run everything by you. Actually, when we finish the podcast, I have a list of things I'm going to run by you. But it's funny because I knew that you were like kind of on vacation. And so I wanted to respect the fact that you maybe wanted to unplug, unwind, and not, you know, be tormented by my incessant text messages.
Well, I wouldn't describe myself as tormented by your text messages, but I did go. So we went to Kauai, which was my first time ever to the island because I've been to, I think, every other island except there. And, you know, normally when I go on vacation, and I feel like you feel the same way, we go to like, I go to like a hotel or resort, and I kind of stay in that area and don't really explore much. Like, right. I'll stay in that area and then maybe we'll go to dinner or something. But we got an Airbnb and we rented a car and we drove around that whole freaking island and did everything. And it was so much fun. Like, we went on these hikes where, like, some of the hikes, my feet were like submerged in mud. Trying to get down. Like, it was just so fun to be like, I felt like a kid.
You know? Wait, I actually did think about you a lot this weekend because there was one photo that you posted on Instagram that was like of your butt.
Oh, yeah.
And it literally was the Ethan's like, it was the photo, like, it kept popping up in Red Stars whenever he would open up his Instagram. It was literally like your ass. I was like, thank God this is my best friend, because if this was anybody else's account, I'd be like, why is this chick keep popping up? Why does her butt keep popping up on your account? And he'd show me every time he opened it. It was just like back to you. I was like, why does it keep taking? It was so weird. And then it was sort of doing it to me, too. It's like our phones synced up or something.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really. Yeah. Well, that's funny.
Yeah, so I feel like I had a lot of Becca in my week without having Becca in my
Becca's
week.
Becca's butt.
Becca's butt and birthday.
Becca's butt and birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so fun. Like, it was one of those things, like, trips where I could write like a travel guide because I want everyone to be able to experience.
You should.
But it was hard. I mean, it's like that island is so beautiful because it's difficult to get to the beautiful spot. So you really have to work for the beauty. But it was interesting because I had so many moments on this trip where they were like this symbolism of, I guess, getting through the hard part to reach like the beautiful part.
Oh.
You know, I had that on like several of the hikes where it was like muddy and slippery and like I was like falling on my butt and like my shoes were covered in mud and using my hands and being like, is this dangerous? Like, and then it was like, we're down here. We're not turning back. Because we have to get to the waterfall, you know? And then we see the waterfall and it's like, oh my gosh, we did it. Like, it's so worth it, even though we're all like probably have 1,000 bug bites and could have gotten injured. And then like at one point I posted on my Instagram this morning, but I was standing outside by myself in the morning and it started raining. And it was like on the island where we were, it would rain on and off like the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I'm just going to stand here because it'll be over in like 2 seconds. And I turned around and it was like a full rainbow.
It was so pretty.
I've never seen one that was like full like that. It was the coolest thing. And it was like another moment of like sometimes when you're just like standing there, you're like getting through the rain.
In the storm.
In the storm, which is such a cliche, you know, the rainbow comes after the rain.
No, you know, they say storms don't last forever.
They don't. Tanya's like a walking Home Goods, like, you know, the section of Home Goods.
Hallmark.
No, you know, Home Goods has like those random signs that have like just sayings like that, like family.
Live, laugh, love. Yeah, you know, yeah. Things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Live, laugh, love.
But anyways, it was super fun. I had a really great time. And I got back super late last night and back to LA, and I was laying in bed and there were helicopters and planes flying over the house. And I was like, back home.
Peaceful, peaceful town over yeah. here.
How was your week?
My week was really good. Again, I was doing some birthday planning, which we will discuss after the podcast. And by the way, we've planned your full birthday without you. And this morning I checked in with them and I was like, has anybody run this by Becca? And everyone's like, nope. And so I said, I'll do it after the podcast today.
Well, as most of my friends probably know, that's probably my ideal situation, is that I don't have to plan anything.
Yeah. So I have a whole list of things that we will discuss post podcast.
Okay. So that's what you did all week?
Yeah, I did that all week. I saw your butt pop up a lot on my boyfriend's yes. phone. That was really fun. Like, honestly, it was hilarious. Because I kept thinking,
what if it was like that on the day where Instagram shut down and you just had, I had,
that's what it was like. I was like, it literally every time he opened his Instagram, I was like, Becca's ass. And he, for the first couple of times, he didn't say anything to me, but then he showed me, he was just like, I don't know why, but every time I open my phone, it's this photo of Becca. And I was just like, if that were any other person he was following, I would have been
like, unfollow.
Or
no.
Like, kind of, I don't know. I probably would have had a different reaction, but I was just laughing at it. But I was like, thank God it's Becca.
Well, yeah.
Anywho.
PTL.
Yeah. So I did that this week. And I wanted to go to the pumpkin patch this weekend, but it was 90 million degrees. So decided to table that for a more festive fall yeah. day. But I did something really exciting that I think you're going to be proud of.
What?
I made my first TikTok.
What? Mm-hmm. Is it up?
Oh yeah.
Oh, what?
It's up. It's live. It is there. And so, you know, are you proud? Are you excited?
I'm so proud and excited. I'm Thank trying you. To get to it to watch.
Thank you
it.
So much. So I've had a TikTok account because I go on and I like watch other people's videos, but I've never created any of my own.
Let me hit that follow.
Oh,
that.
Wow. Thank you so much. Oh, yeah. I followed you. So I went on a hike with. Oh, she's Becca's watching you right now. Yeah. So basically, it's just a video of me on my cramps on day two of my period.
We had this conversation because I was like, Tanya, you do not have to be on TikTok and dance. Like, right. I like to do trends, and like, if it's a dance that I can learn, that's fun. But like, you literally have so many nuggets of wisdom about periods or whatever that you could have a series on TikTok.
Okay, so I went on a hike this weekend with Charlie Puth, and he was talking to me about TikTok.
Yeah, he loves TikTok.
He loves TikTok. And he's like, texted me the other day, and he was just like, your stuff that you do on Instagram would be so good on TikTok. You know, like, that's such a good place for the advice you give and the things that you do. And so anyways, when we were on this hike, he was really amping me up on TikTok to the point where I was like, yeah, like, I was just getting like so into it. And he was like showing me how to make the videos, because I was like, oh, every time I watch Becca do it, it's just so much work and it seems really hard and I don't know how to. God.
No, it's not. I did it effortlessly the last one we did together.
You have to like sync up your dance moves to the words and like, I was like, oh. And he was like, Tanya, it's so easy. And so he's fully like showing me how to do my own videos. The drafts are hilarious that we have. But anyway, so he got me all amped up. And so I was all amped to like do, you know, and so he checked in on me the next day and he's like, have you done your first TikTok? And I was like, no, I'm my cramp on my period. I'm like, bleh, just don't want to do anything. Right. He goes, that's the perfect one to start. So I filmed my heating pad mm-hmm. and my crampy day and posted it. And it was so fun. Now all my videos that I'm getting are like period stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I enjoy. I love the curated content. Like,
And you can like duet them and you'd be like, oh my gosh. Yay.
Yeah. He talked to me about the duet. It seems a little advanced for me. I'm going to play with my basics for right now, but I feel alive. I feel reinvigorated. I'm just excited to make my next one already. I'm going to make one today.
What is it going
to
be?
You know, I don't know. I'm just going to see what comes to me at the moment. That's the beauty of TikTok. You know, it's just organic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not very curated. It's
just life.
I have a question. So Charlie Puth says, wow, that stuff you're doing on Instagram, that would be really great on TikTok. Why? Why is it better on TikTok than on Instagram? Isn't it a social post? Isn't it out there? Why is TikTok better for that?
So I guess like the community in TikTok is just way more kind of like unvarnished. So I feel like I post a lot where I don't have makeup on. I try not to use filters. And I think Instagram is supposed to be a little bit more polished. People have, you know what I mean? Like it's more curated in a sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Also, TikTok, one thing that like really does well on there is like a series, like people who are niche, like topic where people are like if Tanya did like videos that talked about period and her menstrual phase and everything, like people are very intrigued by specific topics like that. So if she did multiple videos and people found her and kept seeing these videos, they'd be like, oh, this is really interesting about women's health. I'm going to start following her so I can get more of that.
Yeah. Like I got a video in my feed. I don't know if this is TMI for the podcast, but I got a video that showed me how a woman gets wet, like where those glands are in our anatomy.
They just
did it say how to produce this effect? Because I've been working on that.
That was not in the TikTok. This was just like straight up a video of where they are, kind of like in the actual body. And I was like, wow, I never knew that before. Thank you, TikTok. I'm already learning in day one of my ventures. So, you know, Tanya takes TikTok day two, and I just feel alive.
This bodes well for me.
Yeah. I thought you'd be happy about this news.
I'm so excited because I have this girl that's helping me with, mostly TikTok and just like being like, hey, here's a trend, do this. And she'll always be like, do this with Tanya. And I'm like, it's like pulling teeth trying to do a TikTok with Tanya.
Nope, but guess what? I understood the assignment.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Now she's going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be like 3 weeks late. Tanya using like trends.
Oh, that song's not it anymore?
I just saw a bunch yesterday. Yeah, no, that's
okay. Okay.
I was just kidding. Yeah, Charlie Puth is very good at TikTok. You should actually post some of the drafts with Charlie because those would very well.
It's so funny because the things he was saying were so funny. He was like, I'm Tanya Rad and I'm going to help you make a modern woman zucchini bread, because he was just like showing me how to do it. Do you know what I mean? It was so funny, but the video is just so bad. And we just came back from a hike and the video is like half of my face.
Well, that's how you FaceTime.
What? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But
it'd be like getting to FaceTime with you.
Exactly. So that was really a highlight of my weekend. And I have this like new reinvigoration of life.
Of content creation?
Yeah, of content creation. Because I do think that like I do like on TikTok, nobody uses filters. And I love that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really, it's kind of made to be in the moment, not overly. It's weird because we come from when I started, like after The Bachelor, when I started posting and had a following on Instagram, I felt like everything had to look and be perfect. Like I look back at some of the photos that I would like Facetune and edit and I'm like, in what way did I think that anyone really thought my skin looked that flawless and smooth? Like there was this sense of like needing everything to be like super edited and perfect for a long time. And it was kind of this like glamorizing life app. And it still is that way a lot. And I think some of the Instagram filters are, I think, problematic, because I'll put one of the ones on there that like changes my features. It'll like make my nose smaller, my lips bigger, my eyelashes like done, and then I'll like hit the X and I'm like, oh
yeah.
And it's like, that's so cruel. Like, why are we doing this to ourselves? And
but yeah, there's this thought that it has to be like perfectly curated. I remember when I wanted to start doing my Modern Woman Monday shout outs I was like, I can't do it because I don't know how to edit video and I don't know how to put over like a cool text over it. I don't know how to do all this stuff. And then I started like doing it rogue. I was like, it's not about making it perfect, it's just about what I want to say. So I just, you know, I look like this.
Well, I saw a post the other day, and so a girl was talking about how she was saying how filters are so damaging to our self-esteem, and how same reaction of like you take the filter off, like you go through filters and then the filter comes off and you're like, ugh, you know, like you're almost like, that's what I look like, when the filters are not realistic. Like the skin smoothing and everything. But she was saying, like, I'm not saying I'll never use a filter again. I'm not saying that I judge anyone who uses a filter. I'm just saying, right, like, for me personally, like, I realized that I was upset with how I looked when I took the filter off. And I had never felt like that until these filters were made and created. And so I always think about that, though. I always think, like, I'm 32, about to be 33, and I'm pretty confident in who I am and what I look like. And I still struggle with, like, when I see those filters or I'm having a bad day or on my period, and I'm like, ugh, like, I wish I had this, this, and this. And I think these young girls who are on Instagram seeing that and those, like, expectations of what our nose is supposed to look like and what our lips are supposed to look like, it's impossible.
It's so,
like,
gnarly.
Mark, I'm so curious with you having two younger girls, like, do they talk like it? And I also think this younger generation, because, and I don't know if it's a TikTok thing, and the younger people who are, like, so popular on TikTok are so confident about who they are and they're body positive and don't try to, you know, use too many filters. So maybe it'll change. I don't know.
I think it cuts both ways. I think I see both things. I think I see those filters. I think I see my youngest wears a lot of makeup. She does that shiny eye thing that seems to be very popular right now. I see a lot of that with her.
What's the shiny eye thing?
I don't know.
The,
I,
like,
see it, I see it a lot
strip
of places. Yeah, but yeah, it seems like it's on the inside too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
On your nose side is a little shine.
Oh, makeup.
Yeah. So she does that, and that bothers me because they're perfect and they don't need that, but that's just kind of dad perspective, and so I get that that's not really pertinent to the discussion, and they can do what they want to do. But yeah, the other side of that is the body positivity thing. That, like, that my kids, if you refer to, like, if you're trying to tell them about someone, like, no, you know that guy that was up during the show tonight? There are so few ways that you can describe that person that is acceptable. You cannot say, you know that heavy kid? Nope. Nope, mm-hmm. nope. That's not allowed. You're going to get heck for that. You can't say, you can maybe describe their hair color or what they're wearing. But beyond that, you can't go anywhere. You can't go to their ethnicity. You can't go to how they looked. You can't go to their weight. You can't go to anything else, which is great. I think that's a very positive thing.
Yeah.
It's just so accepting. Side note, sorry for a little diversion. Friday night, we did a show at Allie's school, and a bunch of kids performed, and she was in a couple of the shows. And a young boy comes up there and performed the Aladdin song, Proud of Your Boy. But he prefaced it by dedicating it to his mother and saying, and not saying this specifically, but it was clear to all of us that he was transgender. Mm-hmm. And for a young transgender boy to sing Proud of Your Boy to his mother, who's in the audience, and dedicated to her for how supportive she is being. I mean, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. It was really a beautiful, beautiful moment. But yeah, that just goes to the accepting nature of Gen Z and how I think that's great. Sorry, that took us off track. But you can get us back.
No, I was just saying, I think it's, I only know what my experience has been. And I've been in my mid to late 20s dealing with this. And I feel like I have the confidence and awareness of who I am to navigate it. But I'm thinking, if I was in high school dealing with this, how challenging it would be. And as a parent, to see your kids and not knowing, like, where do you step in, or like, where's the boundary of, like, knowing how to navigate that, like the insecurities and whatever. But I do think Gen Z is going to be way more accepting and kind to people who for so long have been considered different in this world and made people feel accepted in every capacity. I don't know if they'll be able to, like, call and make a doctor's appointment by themselves, but I do think that.
Yeah.
Because that's always the joke. Like, the kids, like, on TikTok, they'll be, like, at rallies, like, saying these, like, profound things, and they're like, but I'm scared to call and make my own doctor's appointment.
Yeah.
But it's funny. You can't, like with diet and stuff, you can't say to them, it's hard to say to them, no, you can't, you should not eat cheeseburgers and french fries every day of your life. Well, why not? Well, you can't say because you'll get fat, because body positivity. So you have to say because it's unhealthy, which is also true. But it's a, I feel like there are a lot of landmines when you're talking to teenagers today, which you don't mean to be insensitive. Mm-hmm. You're right. Trying to be helpful.
Well, let me tell you about a burger that I went to downtown last night because, wow.
Yeah, what was it?
It's called Hi Ho Burger. It's here in LA. And I did this, you know, again, I was day 2 of my period and cramping. Mm-hmm. And I wanted the best burger in LA. And I got an overwhelming response for 2 places. And that was one of them.
Burgers Never Say Die.
Burgers Never Say Die was the first one. And then Hi Ho was the second one. And so we went to Hi Ho, got a burger, and... Mm.
That meat looked a little thick for me.
No, it was thin.
Really?
Yeah, because I got a double double patty.
Okay, I'm down to try that because I was like, I love a good burger, but that... Mm.
And the fries are double done, double fried.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's intriguing. I don't even know what that looks
exactly.
like.
Exactly. I can send you a photo. It was delicious.
This reminds me of a conversation I need to have with Easton about what a burger...
Wow.
And your disappointing review on it. What happened? What did you get?
I went to Whataburger in Lakeway, Texas, and I rolled up to the drive-thru and I said, I'm from California. I've never really had a Whataburger before. What do I get? Mm. And the guy was very nice. He was very helpful, very patient with me. And he told me to get the Pico de Gallo burger, which had some spice. I'm somewhat of a heat seeker, so I appreciated that.
Okay.
And then I got like just a regular like double Whataburger with cheese and some fries. And then I go and eat it, and it tasted to me like a slightly elevated
Burger King.
Burger King. Yes. Oof. Which is not usually ranked very high. I was a Whopper guy back in the day, but they've fallen off.
Me too. I used to love a Whopper.
Oh my God. But Becca, this is something that will disappoint you. I posted about the Whataburger and I got flooded with DMs from people saying, do not get burgers from Whataburger. You did it wrong. Their burgers are not good. This is from Texans and Americans alike all over the land saying, don't get the burgers.
What do you get there? Cheeseburger
or chicken tenders?
This is the part that truly maddened me.
What did she say?
Cheeseburger. I meant to say grilled cheese.
Everyone's like, you got to get the honey butter chicken biscuit at Whataburger, which threw me off. And then they're like, but here's the thing. They only sell that from 11 p.m. to 8 a.m.
Oh, so it's like a drunken snack.
This feels like a troll's riddle or something. Like I have to get it before the next full moon. Like,
you know.
So I didn't get that, but I don't know.
I'm so baffled by this because, like, I love a number 7 mustard pickle lettuce only with fries and a Dr. Pepper. And that's a single cheeseburger, and it is so delicious to me. I don't know what these people are talking about. I think they're wrong. I think they are rude. And
do you like it better than In-N-Out?
It's just different for me because it's like a different style. Like that's like greasy, like late night, you know, burger food. And then I think of In-N-Out. In-N-Out's like refined to me. Like it's always like very crisp. Like the lettuce is like always very crunchy and fresh. In-N-Out has literally created this empire by making a burger and fries. Like they know what they're doing. They use the right, what? They use the right ingredients.
In-N-Out is like fast food.
But you even eat In-N-Out.
Yeah, not trashing it, but it's not like fine dining.
For fast food, it kind of is.
I mean, they use very fresh ingredients, which is rare in fast food. I think Whataburger uses frozen beef. I don't know that for sure. I don't want to trash Whataburger. But
like, I mean, I love McDonald's hamburgers too, so I guess I'm not like...
Yeah. Actually, do you want to know something that we did this week that I thought was like super cute and fun? We just had a date night. We went out to dinner and we couldn't decide whether we wanted. So we usually order like a salad that we share and an appetizer that we share. And then we order like one main, you know, we just share it all.
Oh my God. It's a little too cute for me, but okay. Continue.
It's like everything for me because, well, we like to eat the same. So it's like, why not get more things than just have one each? You know what I mean?
So you get a bunch and y'all just eat bites.
We just share everything. Yeah. But we couldn't decide for our main if we wanted to order a fish or if we wanted to have beef. So we told the waiter to just surprise us and bring out one or the other. And it was kind of fun. Like, I've never done that before. We were just like, we can't decide. We both really want both. So you decide and bring it out for us. I was like, this is fun.
And he was like, this is adorable. I'll be out with my selection.
Yeah. Yeah.
What exactly. Did he bring?
He brought the beef.
Oh.
Yeah. And he was like, I could tell that you guys want, because I was like around my period time. And so I said,
you could see the feral look in your eye.
He could tell that I needed iron. No, because I'd said it. I was like, you know, I always order fish, but I feel like because I'm around my period, I should get red meat. So I think that's kind of what
you told him, that
the waiter.
Yeah.
Correct? Yeah.
I love doing that. I've never
done that. It was so fun.
I do it all the time. I've never worked in a restaurant, and people that the proud heroes that work at restaurants, maybe they can sound off that they hate this, but like, I always, especially if I've never been to a place before, I love just saying like, bring me the most popular thing. Bring me your favorite thing. You know, like that kind of, I like to empower them to make my choice, and I'm always happy about it.
But like, what if you say their favorite thing and they love like mac and cheese, but mac and cheese gives you diarrhea? You got to give them a little direction. No.
No, I have an iron stomach, Tanya. Yeah, I can handle anything.
I do too. I'm very proud of my iron stomach. Like the things I can handle, I'm like built different, you know? Also, wait a second. So you're sitting here talking to this poor waiter and he's like, hi, what can I get for y'all today? And you're like, well, I'm in my menstrual phase and I'm having some cramps and I'm craving some red beef. But what would you recommend?
Okay, I don't talk like that. So first of all, that's not what I said to the waiter.
You do sometimes.
It was more like Red Star and I were debating what to get, and he really didn't care. He was up for anything. And so he put the ball in my court, and I said, well, you know, I would always normally order the fish, but I'm in my menstrual phase and I should get the beef. And the waiter was just sitting there. And so we were like, well, maybe we need to have another moment. So then and then I was like, wait. And then we brought him back and we said, we want you to decide.
Well, he went home and was like, I had an interesting experience at work today.
Actually, he gave us a complimentary cheesecake. So I think he liked it.
I love a cheesecake. Thank he said, you. This girl's on her period. You want some dessert?
I have an idea for a restaurant. This is from a straight white man. So tell me if this would fly. It's you go in and you tell them what phase of your menstrual cycle you're in and they bring you food.
Honestly, that would be epic. Epic.
Like that would do well, right? I mean, it's what more than half the population would be into that, I think.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people want to eat based on their menstrual cycle. They just don't. It just seems overwhelming. And so if this place just did it for you.
Why stop there? Menstrual cycle, here's my blood type, here's my zodiac sign, here's what I'm rising, and
but the menstrual cycle thing's actually really smart, because if people were more aware of that and ate according to what makes them feel good during that phase, it could be really smart. The only thing is, a lot of people don't know about that. So that's about you getting your TikTok to go viral so you can share,
really tell people.
And then the restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Step one. Coming in hot.
This feels like a beautiful place to take a break.
And then, yeah, because we have to talk about Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy, Addison's Return, and
Travis.
Adele's new.
Oh.
Oh, Courtney, Adele's new song, because that came out last week.
Yeah.
And you've listened to it, I'm assuming.
Thousands of times. Yeah. But Kravis's engagement?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Kravis engagement. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Okay, we're back. Also, I wanted to congratulate Jack Vanek because she got engaged last week.
Congrats, Jack. We love you.
We love you. The ring is stunning. And he did it at his concert.
Yeah.
Which is so cute. And it brought up the question for me. When you get proposed to, do you want it to be in front of people? Or do you want it to be private where no one else is around?
You know what's funny? That's what everybody was talking about with the Kravis engagement with Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker, because they did it on this beach. They did it in front of the Miramar Rosewood in Santa Barbara. And so all these people that are just like eating at the like beach bar.
And just witness the
watching the proposal. People are taking photos. So it's obviously very public. And one of our my girlfriend Sierra was just like, I don't like that. But if that, I feel like that place has to be meaningful to them, which is why he did it there. I would imagine it's not just like some random beach front.
Yeah, I mean, he could have found a private beach easily and done that without anyone around. So I agree, there had to be some sentimental value. Yeah, but did you answer my question?
Oh. Honestly, I don't know. I think whatever ways it happens, I think I'll love either way. I think I would like it to be private, but I also think I would like it to be public too. Not necessarily public, but around people.
Mm-hmm. I could see you having a private where it's just y'all and then you show up and everyone's there to celebrate.
For
like a party.
Sure. Oh yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I think I hate doing anything like in front of people, so I definitely would want it to be
private,
yeah. But I would love to celebrate with everyone after. But yeah, the thought of doing it with like strangers staring.
How about on the Jumbotron at a sporting event?
Ugh.
That doesn't interest me much.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that would be kind of a bummer.
Like I would never like if it was a person I want to marry, I'm going to say yes no matter how it's done because I would just be so excited, but that wouldn't be like my idea. If someone did that for me, then I'd be like questioning if they know me at all. Like, do you know me?
On Jumbotron?
Mm-hmm. I would love for you to get proposed on a Jumbotron.
Nothing would make me happier.
What sport, though? I don't really like any sport.
Lakers. He's a Laker guy. He's going to take you to the Laker game and propose on the big screen.
Or you remember how cute you thought football was? Maybe at a football game. You thought it was so cute.
You know what's interesting? I was actually reading this story about this girl from Succession. And she proposed to the guy that she just married. And I always think about that. It's a lot of pressure to think about that.
Wait, someone else I was just reading about. Did Joshua Jackson's fiance propose to him?
You might be onto something. There was another couple. It might be Joshua Jackson, actually, where his wife proposed to him.
Well, I think that works if you get to the point where you both know it's imminent. Then maybe that could work. But it's scary because he might be planning something spectacular and then all of a sudden you kind of pull the rug out from under him.
Right.
Yeah, she did propose to him, but they had two proposals. So I guess she proposed and then, or I don't know who did it first, but he said that she was very adamant about proposing to him. But you know what I always think about is like, you know, we always talk about how people will be in long-term relationships and then they're just like the girl's like waiting for the proposal, waiting for the ring. And a lot of times we're like, oh, you know, if it hasn't happened, maybe it's, you know, time to walk away or whatever. What if the guy's just scared and the girl just said, I'm going to do that? What do we think the outcome would be?
The girl just said, I'm going to propose?
Yeah, like he's not doing it, but we're still together and maybe he's scared. Like, I'm going to propose and like.
Right. I don't know. It does seem like a lot of pressure. I have no idea. I don't know what the outcome would be. I feel like there's a lot of things that come into play with that. But I was watching this Netflix special and it's called Quarter Life Crisis. Actually, Ryan recommended it to me.
Taylor Tomlinson.
And it's very funny because she talks about all of these things and she was engaged. She's not engaged anymore. But she was saying the minute she got that ring on her finger, she was like, this thing in her head just went like, boop, boop, mission completed. You know, like that's all we want in our life is like, once you get that ring, it's like, the hell gates of heaven have opened up and you're in this thing. And she's like, and then I got engaged and I went to Target and I was holding my hand out and people would say, you know, do you need help finding the whatever? And she's like, no, I don't, because I'm engaged. Somebody loves me. And like the way that she talks about it is so freaking funny because it is, it's this thing. I don't know. It's hard. And again, it's like, goes back to my whole thing about how as women, people only praise you and give you love if you get engaged or you have a baby. We don't have these parties for women who are starting their businesses. We don't have all this stuff. So it's getting me back on my high horse of, got to get that on my TikTok. Start that on my TikTok.
Okay, this brings up such a good topic because I've been thinking about this. Tia from The Bachelor World, she said the other day, she was talking about on her Instagram story, which I feel like this all the time, like, if you don't have a family, you don't have like, or if you don't post about your love life, you don't have kids, or you don't have like I don't know what that thing. You're not like under 21. Like you almost kind of feel like you don't really have like a, I feel like this a lot. Like I don't really have a, I don't know what my thing is, because when I was on The Bachelor, that was my thing. And then as time went on and I distanced myself from that being my thing, it was like people cared about my love life. And then I posted about my love life. And now I'm in this place where I'm like, I could share my love life and I would feel like I would have so much like support and love, but it's like, do I share my love life for the sake of social media?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
But you do it because you want to.
I know, but like, I always joke around about like, what's my, like, I, you know, at a certain point, and I don't know if you ever feel like this, because you have built your career from something like very traditional of like being on the radio and then having a podcast. And now you're like popular on social media from doing like these very traditional things that like people have followed your career and stuff. Whereas mine came from this like very untraditional way of life, like going on the reality show. It was like thrown into my lap at a quick thing. And then it was like, does anyone care about anything else that I'm doing?
But why do you care if anybody cares?
That's because question. It's kind of my job for people to care about what my life is. You know, my social media presence is supposed to have like something that makes people care, whether I'm doing something that's like productive and helping people or my story, whatever that is, which I do have a really good story that I'm going to share one day. But like right now, it's like without taking that out of it, what is it that makes me interesting?
Are you asking me that question? Or
no, that's like my question. It's like, what makes me interesting beyond like who I'm dating?
There's so much. I just feel like, I guess it's different maybe because you're looking at it from a job perspective. Like it's your job for people to care. But I think that's the biggest thing is like social media isn't real life. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not,
but
it's not who you are as a person. It's just an extension of just like posting fun things or talking to people about stuff, creating community. Like it's not that big of a thing.
I know, but sometimes I like envy people who are just share their life on there, because I'm like, wow, to just like be able to do that without any fear or like repercussions.
Yeah,
I'm
but like, you of all people know, like sometimes you see a person that's known on social media for having a perfect family and the cutest kids and they do all this stuff, and behind the scenes they're yelling at their little ones to do better and smile bigger, and it's not as pretty as it looks. So
you're right.
We know that it's not necessarily, and sometimes I look at people like that and it makes me kind of sad because I'm like, these poor kids. Mm-hmm. I think it's good to have a balance, you know, like mm-hmm. also your social media is your Becca Tilly. It's not Becca Tilly and significant other, Becca Tilly and family. It's just Becca Tilly. Like who's Becca Tilly? Whoever you want to be. And who cares if people like it or don't?
I do care. People like.
Well, that's what I think we need to get past.
But okay, but I think you're both right. Like, Becca, I see where you're coming from. What's your thing? Because your thing is kind of still Bachelor. Like, you're still kind of in the wake of The Bachelor and now this podcast. But Tanya's right in the sense that I do think your social media would be much bigger and more successful if you cared less what people think.
Yeah.
Because I do think that the ones that are just no inhibitions, put it all out there, and whatever you think of it, you think of it. That's more real, and it's going to attract more people and more detractors at the same time. It's a double-edged sword.
Well, yeah. And I feel like I used to be way more open when I would just like talk to the camera and just like talk about random stuff. And somewhere along the way, I feel like I got like distract or scared to do that. And I don't know where it happened or why it happened, but yeah. I don't know if it's like all kind of centered around I shared everything to an extent where I was sharing. It was this like false sense of reality of like sharing my relationship with Robert and posting photos, like knowing that we weren't going to be together forever. But, you know, posting these like gorgeous photos that made people feel like they were invested in our relationship. Mm. And then the disappointment of not having that and knowing that, you know, sharing your relationship is what's going on behind the scenes.
That makes sense. Feeling like you let people down would make you hesitant to do that again, not just relationships, in everything.
Yeah. And so, and then on top of that, you add the fact that I, you know, am so scared to have pick a side on anything. It's like, it's hard. But I really resonated with Tia because she was saying, like, sometimes I feel like I'm in this in-between where I don't have... And she just recently shared her relationship, and he's, her boyfriend's so cute. But she was like, it's one thing to share my life, but it's different when someone else is involved. And I really resonated with that because it's like this in-between of like, I'm not married, I don't have a baby. What is my like niche thing? Like, my job is kind of not traditional. I have the podcast, which I love, but it's that like, how much can you post about one thing? So I think it's just like a normal feeling, like in my age group of, and I think people feel like this in real life, like outside of the social media world of like, I'm not engaged. Like, I don't have kids. What am I? I'm supposed to have all these things at this age, according to society, but I don't. And so I just want to let you know, if you're out there and you have that thought, like, you're not alone in it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that was, you know, for me too, I used to share every single thing about my dating life. Like, if I, even if I went on a date and I, like, you know, had diarrhea that night, I would like talk about it. And it's different now because, you know, my boyfriend is more private, but not in terms of like, he's more private and protective of his children. And so I respect that boundary. And, you know, as things get more comfortable and we, you know, are more comfortable in that space, I'm sure I'll share more, but it's like, you can set boundaries and you can kind of have that, keep some things private. But I think if you are keeping things private just to keep them private and it's like eating you up inside, then that's not fun either. You know,
I don't really feel eaten up inside about, and if anything, I feel eaten up inside because like that feel, I guess not even eaten up inside. I feel more like, you know, there's so many people that are like, why are you so scared to share your relationship? It's like, there's two people in this relationship. And I'm not the only one, and it's not all about me. And it's also like, you know, there's.
Yeah, but you talk about it and you compromise. Like, that's what Red Star and I did. You know, he was like, your job is public. I'm super private. Let's talk about it. Let's, you know, like, I love you and I support you and I encourage you. And I think it's awesome that you're passionate about what you do. So let's find a happy medium.
Yeah, I guess it's finding the happy medium. It's
communicating. With your...
And also, if you went all the way 100% open about your relationship, you're right. That does put a lot of pressure on that relationship because now people are invested in it. And now you guys have to deal with that and comments and all this other stuff that adds something to it that most relationships don't have to deal with. And that's not even fair.
That's what my therapist said. She goes, just so you know, like, whenever you're ready, go for it. But just make sure that you're ready, because once it's out there, you can't. It's like toothpaste. Yeah. Like, once it's out, you can't put it back in.
Yeah, but you also can. You don't have to make that every single thing that you post.
No,
it's like a portion. It's like a portion of your life.
I know, but what my experience has been is that you share a little and it's like more, more, more.
But and you're then the gatekeeper. Like,
I know, but I feel pressure.
You should feel empowered, not pressure.
I like, think I feel a good balance of both. I feel pressure and power. But anyways, my whole point is to say, like, you talking about everyone wants a ring. I don't think like that. The ring, that is not ever, I have never dreamed of like having the ring. And like, once I have a ring, my life will be complete. But I know a lot of people feel that sense of like, where I'm at in my life by a certain age is supposed to look like this. And then when it doesn't, you almost feel like you're not doing something right.
Yeah. You know, what's so actually one of my friends is going through the foster to adopt process. And she posted this thing on her Instagram the other day about Friends, the characters from Friends. So like Phoebe, Monica and Rachel, and how the creators of Friends gave each of them a non-traditional route to motherhood to show that not everything happens in this, you know, fairy tale traditional way of like becoming a mom. You know, like Monica and Chandler adopted and Rachel was a single mom, you know, decided to have the baby alone. And Phoebe was a surrogate and had babies for her brother. And so I just think it's important to kind of, I think that we're coming so far from this like traditional route just in every aspect, you know, like with women. And, you know, we couldn't buy a property on our own. We had to have a man's name. We couldn't even open a credit card. And so things are just shifting. Things are changing. People are having children later in life. People are having children in different ways. People are becoming step parents. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, things are happening in a non-traditional way, mm-hmm. and it doesn't make it any less special or beautiful. It's just different and mm-hmm. unique.
Yeah. But I think it's just a good reminder to know that, like, no matter what age you're at, when you're looking around and things are happening for other people at a certain rate that's not the same as yours, don't let that make you feel like you're not doing something right, because your path is going to look different than everybody else's, and that's okay.
Yeah, my therapist was actually telling me one of my biggest questions when I go to therapy is, you know, but that's not right. That's not how it should be, right? And she goes, it shouldn't be any way. It's your own relationship, mm-hmm. you know, like you guys get to make it what you want. And I was like, wow, you're so right. Like, it's so
simple.
You want to
split entrees and appetizers and salads? Go for it. That's your thing.
Right. Like, we can do whatever we want, however we mm-hmm. want to. And there's something really, like, powerful about that.
Well, our whole life is, it should be this way.
Yeah.
All we hear is, like, this is how it's supposed to go. It should look like this. And I think just in these last couple of years, there's this realization of, like, the shoulds are just suggestions. They're not, like, anything set in stone that you have to follow. They're just what's worked for people. And those thoughts have dominated what society, like what it's supposed to, our timelines are supposed to look like. But no, I agree. There's no shoulds. It's just.
Yeah. I mean, I went through that phase in my 20s when all my girlfriends from college were getting married and having babies. And I was going to everybody else's bachelorette parties and in everybody else's weddings and throwing all the bridal showers. And I was just like, when's my turn? Mm-hmm. And I feel like in that phase when I was dating, I was just searching for a husband. I just wanted mm-hmm. that too. And I think probably recently, within the last few years, it shifted from finding a husband to actually doing life with somebody. You mm-hmm. know, like I wanted a partner to live life with. Mm-hmm. I think there's something really powerful. I feel like I'm a modern woman and I can do my own thing and I am independent and I can carry my own. And I still feel that way, but I feel as though I feel stronger and more powerful with a partner that actually encourages me and loves me. And I feel stronger having mm-hmm. a partner, you know, mm-hmm. and that's always what I've wanted. And so I don't know. There's something really, it's like a different sense of relationship that I have now mm-hmm. with Red Star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think it's that you do that comparing, and then at a certain age you go, actually, this is what I'm looking for. And what you have found with Red Star is so much more than a boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know, you found someone that you're doing life with and who respects you and loves you and shows you the same type of care that you show him.
Yeah. And it's like kind of cool and interesting. It's not somebody that I would ever have thought, you know, and, you know, he's Jewish and I'm Christian. And so, you know, navigating the holidays and what that's going to look like. And it's exciting. You know, it's not, it doesn't have to be a certain, you know, I went to Shabbat on Friday and it was so fun. And I love that mm-hmm. Tradition in the Jewish faith, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's something that I think we want to do. And so it just kind of, I don't know. It's cool. It's different.
Yeah, it is cool. I'm really proud of you. You've handled, it's a lot. And I think it's, you've handled it in a way that's makes it seem exciting and not daunting, because I think the differences, especially in big topics like religion and culture, can be very scary to some. For me, like growing up, it was like you need to be in a relationship with someone who thinks and believes just like you,
right?
And I think we've both kind of experienced relationships that don't look like that, and we've both been able to grow and appreciate someone else's religion and faith more because of it, and yeah. opened our eyes to other people that see the world differently and believe differently, which is really cool.
Yeah. Ooh, went heavy there for a minute.
Speaking of religion, Adele released a new song. how many times have you listened to Easy on Me?
A lot. Like, a lot. I definitely say in the hundreds, because the first day it came out, I listened to it on repeat for like the first 2 days. And then now I've put it into a side by side. So 5 days in total.
And she's basically saying, like, she's asking people, what I gathered from it, she's asking people, like, take it easy on me. Like, I was young.
No, I think she's speaking to herself. Like, I want,
like, being
be
compassionate
on myself.
Yeah, like, be compassionate to myself.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful song, Adele. Congrats.
Yeah, I can't wait for that album. Ooh, I am foaming at the mouth for that thing.
That one or Red? Which one has you more foaming?
Mm,
Taylor's version.
I would say Adele hands down, but I'm really angsty over the Vault songs from Red. She released, okay, yeah. So Friday or whatever day Adele's song came out, Thursday or Friday, Adele or Taylor Swift released the last track of like one of the Vault tracks in Red. And it's literally just her speaking. It's not even a song. It's her speaking and saying, you know, like Red is an album that came from a time when I was brokenhearted and basically talks about that. It's like a breakup album. Even that I listened to like 10 times. Like a 25 second clip.
She has it. It's a monologue at this point for Tanya.
Oh, so, you know, I don't know. It's just hard to say.
I'm so ready. I need to go somewhere cold with pretty leaves, maybe snow.
Yeah.
I have like this vision of me sitting like, I don't even drink from a mug because I don't drink hot coffee, but me sitting in like a cozy chair with a mug and like in a corner with a fire going, looking out the window.
Yeah. You can easily do that here in Los Angeles.
No. It's I need the scenery.
Put the AC real low.
No, I need the outdoor scenery.
Close all the blinds, make it dark.
No palm trees allowed. Okay, I forgot this story while I was in Hawaii. So we go to this beach. It was really hard to get to because the parking was limited. And we had to walk kind of far, but we went to, it's called Tunnels Beach. It's like famous. It's actually, you know, the surfer, Bethany Hamilton, she got her arm bit off by a shark at Tunnels Beach. It's beautiful. So we went and we're like swimming in the water and this couple, this like older couple is swimming next to me. And I got like a, you know, when you're in the ocean or like outside and someone like walks by or goes by you and you like smell their perfume and it's like strong.
Yes. The man in my building.
Oh, I like it when it's good.
When it's good.
So I said to them, well, I was like, oh my God, your perfume smells so nice. Like, what is that? And she goes, oh, I don't have any perfume on. And I was like, is it your shampoo? What is that? And then she points to her husband. She's like, it might be him. He always smells good. And I was like, we have a very beautiful fragrance. And he said something, had like a British accent and kind of laughed. And so she complimented my hat. We chit chatted for a little bit and then they swam off. And so I see him standing. We're about to leave. And we had walked really far on the beach, but part of the beach that we had walked on, like the tide had gone up. So I went to ask him if there was a street walking area and like on the like that we could cut through to walk on the street. And he's like yeah, talking to me, and I realize it's Pierce Brosnan. And I'm like oh, it like clicks. And I'm like I just realized who you are, and I'm a big fan of your work. I was like, nice to meet you. And he was like, oh my, he was so nice. He was like, oh my gosh, that's so awesome. And he like gave me knuckles and he's like, what's your name? And we like chit chatted for a minute. Wow. It was so crazy.
How I was did you like, not recognize him in the water?
He had like a mustache.
Was he
and
what?
He had a hat on and a mustache. So I just like, you know, and I was like in Kauai. I was like the last person I was expecting to see. But they were so nice.
Hold on.
Is him and his wife?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was the one who, or someone smelled really great.
Yeah. How do you not recognize that guy?
No, I promise. He has like a beard and he does not look like that.
No.
And he's still so handsome. Like, and then with his accent, I was like, wow, this is a charming man. But yeah, it was cool.
I bet that's fun for them when somebody just strikes up a conversation with them, not knowing who they are. And it's clear to them that they have no idea who they are. She just, just chit-chatting and wants to get to the street and likes how we smell and has no idea that I'm James Bond.
Yeah, I was like talking to James Bond.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I was talking to James Bond.
Why couldn't I be that chill with Jennifer Aniston when I stalked her that night, you know? Like, why wasn't I just like, I just recognize
right,
who you are.
That's the key. That's the key. You just go in with something rogue and random. Like, I love your top.
Right.
Oh, you look like that actress from...
No, nice hair color. What is that? I want to tell my...
Oh, yeah. Like, she's never heard that one before.
Whatever it is. I don't know.
But yeah,
cute
cool.
Shoes. Where'd you get them?
Okay. So, Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
Addison's back. Does it feel just like were returning back to home or something.
I
do
have to say the Addison storyline made me tear up. I got really emotional when she met the kids.
I know.
I could barely handle that scene. And I also love that Grace is incorporating kind of like these TikTok challenges that are, you know, make people go viral and end up in the hospital. Like, I kind of like that they're kind of touching on that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I feel like Grey's Anatomy has always been pretty good at like whatever is happening in real life, they incorporate into the show.
Yeah.
They do a really good job with that. But it kind of was jarring realizing it's been 6 years since Derek died.
Yeah. It doesn't feel that way because he came back last season, you know, a little bit.
But, and the thought of like her, I don't know. I guess I never thought about Addison and all that because I was focused on Mare, you know, and everyone in the hospital.
Yeah.
But do we think Scott Speedman is going, like, what's going to happen with that relationship? She's just going to be going back and forth and that's when she'll see him?
TBD. But I will say, I thought that was a very strong episode.
Yeah.
It was very good. It was great to see Addison again. And I loved just so much of it. There was so much good stuff there. I liked the kidney stuff. And I liked getting to know Ndugu as not just Maggie's husband, but his own character now. And I thought it was really strong all the way through.
I really enjoyed that because it has been very much he's Maggie's husband. There hasn't been a lot for him outside of his relationship with Maggie. So I quite enjoyed him being a doctor by himself. He's so cute.
He's so cute. Yeah, it was a strong episode. I enjoyed it and I'm looking forward to more. But actually, are you a fan of the show You?
It's scary to me.
So you're not a fan.
I watched the first season.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Apparently Scott Speedman is in season 3 of You. And I'm like, you know, pick a lane, dude.
He's an actor.
Are you you, man? Or are you going to be Meredith's love interest?
I will never complain about too much Scott Speedman on my television set.
That's really your stroke for you folk.
No, I think, you know, it just speaks to who he is as an actor that he can shift.
I don't know. I just feel like it's going to, I don't know.
I feel like, I don't know that he's worked a great deal in the past 10 years. I'm thrilled to see
him. Right. He's having a big week for him. Yeah.
I just, there's something about him that, like I've already said it, but there is just something about him and Meredith. There's a dynamic between them that makes so much more sense than anyone else that they've tried to put her with.
Like if he's going to be Meredith's new love, the love of her life, let's say, I just want him to really be that.
But what happened? What was his injury when he came in? Remember?
She did surgery.
Yeah.
Let me find out.
Like, was he sick? Like, did he have some, like, genetic things? Because now
Yeah, because he's a miracle. Remember? They talked about how they're both miracles. Like, their lives, the fact that they're still alive is a miracle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what do you do? It's a lot of pressure being a miracle.
Mm-hmm. He got a kidney transplant. 5 weeks after having a kidney transplant, Nick came to Grace Sloan to retrieve a liver for a longtime patient of his. After the surgery, he collapsed in a hallway. Meredith did an exam and ran some labs and chatted with Nick while they waited for the results to come back. The labs were inconclusive, so Meredith did another ultrasound, which showed a clot in his renal vein cutting off blood flow to his new kidney. She rushed him into surgery, where she removed the clot and saved his kidney.
Here's my issue. I'm already having some fears that what a great, easy way for them to incorporate tragedy once we get attached to this man.
Oh, like
and this
how
relationship.
They did with Teddy and what's his name?
Yeah. The kidney problems come back and bye-bye, Nick.
Yes.
That was a... Henry's death was a real...
Worse than Denny's.
Come on now.
No, it was because Christina... That whole dynamic of Christina doing the surgery, not knowing it was him, and then them removing...
That was so...
I have chills.
I know.
Chills all over my body.
We have to move on.
Okay. You have not moved on from Denny, and so...
No, I don't mean move on from that. I just mean move on in the podcast.
Oh.
Yeah.
What did you want to move on to? Because we're basically coming to an end.
I was going to say emails, but maybe we just wrap it up.
Let's do one email.
Here we go. You know what? Have you looked at them?
No.
Let's do it as Tanya and Robbie at the restaurant. Would you like Ashley or Caitlin?
Oh.
Without knowing them, without looking at them.
I'm going Caitlin.
Ashley.
Oh. Mark, you choose.
Rock, paper, scissors.
You're the waiter.
Okay, rock, paper, scissors. Rock, paper, one, scissors, two, shoot. Three. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Caitlin. Rock smashes scissors. Becca's choice. And what was it, Becca?
Caitlin.
My husband and I just moved into my new brother-in-law's back house, which my husband, who is a general contractor, did all the construction and remodeling on the place. We're living here for a few months while we house hunt. Wish us luck, Becca. The 4 weeks we've been there, I can count on two hands the nights we haven't had any visitors, mainly his brother-in-law or his parents. I've said to my husband, it's beginning to become an issue because I can't ever feel comfortable in my own home. Can't a girl sit on a couch with no makeup and no bra on without having to worry about someone just stopping by? The problem is his brother has a key to our place because he owns it. But I came home the other day and there was like mail from his parents' house on our coffee table because the brother let himself in and put it inside. I feel like this is an invasion of my space. Is it justified that I think it's weird that he just stops by even when we're not there? Also, do we have the right to tell my brother-in-law and my in-laws to lessen the visits?
I would lose my mind in this situation. My worst nightmare is not feeling comfortable just sitting on, like, doing nothing in my home without someone invading my space.
Yes, but I have might have a different opinion because I feel like this is not their space. They're living in their brother-in-law's home, essentially, his back house.
Yeah, but if it's a married couple and you're saying, hey, you can stay here while you house hunt, that doesn't mean like, hey, I get to come in anytime I want. There has to be boundaries.
I mean, yeah, I get that, but I don't find it weird that they let themselves in to put mail on the table.
But what else is he doing when he's in there? You don't know what he's doing. He could be going through your drawers. He could be setting up cameras. You have no idea what he's doing.
I would, if I were her, I would put a camera. I would get a camera and just like make sure that all he does is put the mail on the table and isn't like snooping around in your underwear drawer.
Yeah, but if it's your, I mean, I'm going to just say that if you are thinking that your brother-in-law is snooping through your drawers and going through your stuff, then there's bigger problems.
No, Tanya, no, it's not. No, you're wrong on this. This is Becca's right on this. It's an invasion of privacy and it's a lack of respect. It's disrespectful what they're doing.
That would be like if you were like, hey, I really need a place to stay. Like, can I stay in your guest room? And I would just like barge in without you knowing and like, you don't know what I'm doing in there. I would respect your space. I would be like, hey, it's your room. While you're staying here, treat it like your room. I won't invade it unless, you know, you give me permission to do so.
I don't know if I didn't like the way that I was, if I didn't like it, I would just make it, I would just move somewhere else.
Well, they might not have the ability. I mean, not everyone can just like go and move somewhere else. It sounds like they're staying there so that they can financially save and then eventually buy a house.
Well, nonetheless, Caitlin's feelings are valid. So what can she do about this? How does she address this with the brother-in-law and or the parents?
Well, first of all, I would have a conversation with your husband and say, hey, I love your family and I'm totally fine with them visiting, but I do want to feel like this is a safe space and like a home while we're living here. So if you could just have a conversation and, you know, set some boundaries with them because it's your brother. I mean, if it was my sister doing this, I think I'd easily be able to be like, hey, like I get it's your house, but while we're living here, could we, you know, can we treat it like this is our space and just be respectful of that? I think it's a conversation that he should have with both the parents.
Definitely needs to be him.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I wouldn't set those boundaries with in-laws because I feel like that's his place and it's his brother's home that they're crashing in right now. And the parents visiting, I would just be like, hey, maybe you can suggest like we can go over to their house once a week and they can come over here once a week and just, you know, it sounds like they're like to be very involved in their life. We have different opinions on boundaries, though, in space, yeah. Tanya and I do. Like, Tanya, if she was like, yeah, you can stay with me, I'd be like, 6 a.m., knock, knock, knock. I made you breakfast.
Totally. Yep.
I'd be like,
hey. You're under my roof, you're under my rules.
Well, I know where I won't be going if I ever need a space. But no, I mean, I do think it's like, yeah, of course they're helping you out, but you have every right to feel like if this is your current situation, that you want it to feel like safe and like home.
Yeah, I get that. But I'm just saying also too, I think that maybe the brother-in-law thinks he's being helpful by like putting your mail in your house instead of leaving it on your front door. Do you know what I mean? And I think that if you do think that somebody's coming in snooping, that's a bigger issue.
I would just say, hey, would you mind texting us if you're gonna go into the house and just say, even if it's like leaving mail, like, hey, if you're gonna use your key, which in my mind, if someone else is living there, it's like, why does he need the key?
Yes, but it's his place or whatever. But why not just leave the mail in the mailbox or just leave it on the front step?
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. I think he probably thinks he is doing them a favor by putting
how?
It in.
You have to walk by
you know,
it anyway.
What if they have a dog? They might have coyotes that can eat the
coyotes
mail.
Coyotes don't eat mail. Okay.
I don't know. Like, you never know. I'd be.
This is when you know you're in the wrong is when you
yeah, she
coyotes.
Starts trying to say coyotes are eating the mail. That's when you know she's spiraling.
No, I'm not spiraling. I'm just saying the brother-in-law probably thinks he probably doesn't think anything of it. Do you know what I mean? I think it's probably he thinks it's something nice that he's doing.
There's an angle to use that your husband can use that's something along the lines of, can you let us know before you come in the house? Because my wife gets paranoid because sometimes, you know, she's just getting out of the shower and she doesn't know if there's anybody in the house. Like, I think there's a way to kind of say, just do it from a safety perspective. You know, that
right.
sort of thing.
Or you can make them uncomfortable and be like, we're starting to become nudists and we're from the hours of 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. we are without clothing. So please knock or let us know if you're going to use the key. Thank you so much.
I think Mark's approach is very reasonable.
More mature.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, it's just like, say. It's like, hey, I mean, if your brother-in-law respects you, then he's going to be like, oh, I never even thought of it like that. I'm so sorry. Of course, I'll, you know, let you know if
but
there's
it just
any
takes,
reason.
It just takes one time the brother-in-law opening that door and seeing the nudists for him not to come opening it again.
Or
yeah,
not
or be very or, excited to yeah. open that door as much as he possibly can.
Yeah. Ew, sickos.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I would hate that, honestly. I would have a
I
very
also
hard
would
time.
Hate that.
So, Caitlin, I empathize with you, and I would definitely ask your husband to have a conversation with his family members. And good luck on the house hunt. Hope you find something way sooner than later.
Yeah, the house hunting sounds rough. Try the nudist thing, though. Might be fun.
Okay. Well, on that note, sometimes I will like walk or drive by Tanya's apartment complex and I'm always like, please don't let me see Tanya roaming around nude in her window.
I haven't been nude in a while because it's been chilly.
Yeah. Too cold.
Too cold.
Okay. Well, that's the end of the podcast.
All right.
It's been real. It's been fun. It's been real fun.
Oh, you had that one stored up ready to go?
It's always ready to go. Hope you all have a great week and we'll see you next Monday.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.